Stacey Francis Bayman here. I'm really proud to be an ambassador for Flyhawk, leading the way for netball and women's sport. Flyhawk design and make netball dresses, have netball kit and netball team wear. Netballs plus much, much more. Head to flyhawk.com.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
This is the Netball Show with Flyhawk, and I'm Rosie Braybrook speaking to Jess Felby, head coach, ahead of the Nations Cup taking place on home soil this weekend. Jess, thanks for joining us. The first games of 2024 is almost here. How has the team's preparation been progressing in the lead up to this weekend's matches?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. 2024, it sounds a bit surreal, doesn't it? But I'm really looking forward to the challenge of a multi-nation series again, which tends to be kind of what we do in January. And the preparation has been, the team have been brilliant, actually. I'm really impressed with, they've gone up a few gears in training and in camps, both in terms of intensity of training, which is always something that we're trying to chase, especially when you're going to meet number one and two in the world. We've got some gaps to close there just in terms of that. So doing a really good job, I think, from a coaching perspective, but also the player engagement with that. And then, yeah, just everyone just seems very much kind of on it in terms of attention to detail, focus on our strengths and how those will best play out against three very different teams. So big challenge that lay ahead, and almost like a mini World Cup when you're meeting teams in quick succession and have to kind of be super clear as to what comes with you into the next match and what you kind of just leave respectfully against that style in that team. So yeah, the preparation's been going really well. We were back in camp last week, so a 5-day camp, all managed to get a couple of days back home, and then we've been in this week building up to Wembley. So yeah, so much to look forward to, in particular with playing back at Wembley, which I've got fond memories of as well.
Exciting times. So entering your second World Cup 4-year cycle as a Roses coach, do you find that your nerves change, or they get any less before big games, or are they still as bad as maybe when you started?
Yeah, I think nerves are a good thing. I think actually I've learned that they're quite reassuring. I think to feel like that almost just reminds us how much we all care about it. So I don't think there's bad nerves per se. Have they changed? I think because relative to our ambition gets bigger, our expectations of ourselves get bigger. You know, I know the expectation of our fans gets bigger. So I think in relative terms, I think things pretty much stay the same. But I think there's just a more solid foundation and belief within this group of things that we are capable of right now, but also still some great potential that we want to realise over the next couple of years. So it's exciting. In terms of nerves, I think actually the closer that you get to games, sometimes you don't feel as aware of those nerves because the work's been done and there's an element where you kind of have to be at peace with the effort that everybody's put in and then be curious and inquisitive about how we're going to apply that work out on court. So yeah, ironically, the closer it gets, the more I kind of get sit in that space of, okay, let's see if any of this is going to translate and how close to what we intend our performance to look like can we be right now. So yeah, I think whether it's 4 years, 5 years, 8 years, I think it's healthy to kind of still feel a little bit of the butterflies in the tummy.
Yeah, I think they're always going to be there for you, for sure. Beyond achieving victories, what specific goals or outcomes are you hoping to achieve as a team this Nation Cup?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think, obviously, we know the tangible bits that we can all get dragged into, which is about outcome, and that's the world we operate in, and we're very aware of that, and we certainly have intentions of getting in a Nations Cup final and competing against the best teams. It's important for us now to do that in order that we can ready ourselves for bigger stages later on in this cycle. So I think we have good ambition and very much a stretch goal in itself. You know, to beat an Australia team who are very much sat at the top of the tree right now is a big ask, let alone getting past, you know, the likes of New Zealand and a really stylish, unique Ugandan side who we came up against last year. So I think underneath that, though, we've got several ways in which we will judge ourselves. Obviously, internally, we're working really hard tactically. I think there's definitely some broader things here around our ability to show the resilience and robustness needed to sit in games for longer. You know, when there's scoreboard pressure, I think we're starting to show signs that we're getting a bit more comfortable in that space and we're able to regulate ourselves. But the group's evolving all the time, so there's more and less experience in the group, and I think we're really celebrating that. It's quite freeing, I think, to have new players coming through the ranks with a brilliant mindset, by the way, around wanting to kind of jump on board and help the team get more success. So I think there's kind of some psychological bits that we want to work at. Then that should translate with our clearer decision making and I think our application of the right tactics at the right time in the moment. I still think that's something that we've got to continue to be really smart with, and to be able to adapt quickly to get the upper hand on teams. But yeah, that kind of psychological space, backing ourselves a little bit more, but obviously knowing that we've got to work super hard at that and we've got to earn that right. I think we've got some brilliant tools available to us, technically and tactically, some great versatility in the team. So there's obviously another shopping list where we've got one eye on what the future looks like. And so getting some of these players exposed to Australia, New Zealand and Uganda is really important. Yeah. But that doesn't mean, you know, that we lead with that. You know, it should never be easy to get awarded a cap for your country. But it is important that we leave this series with more knowledge about how we've fared both individually as a unit and collectively against these teams. It will give us a great benchmark then as we head towards the autumn, where we will hopefully meet these sides again and can expect ourselves to be even closer on a scoreboard front. So yeah, outcome wise we want to get ourselves in that final of Nations Cup, and there's a real appetite for that in the team and a belief that it's possible. And then I think nation on nation, we've got some real clarity as to tactically what we feel we want to execute that plays to our strengths. And we just need to be more consistent in that. We've got some what it takes to win markers that tell us factually some of the areas where we're a bit more vulnerable. I think we're a team that can win all over the court. And I believe that to be a massive advantage. But what we do need to do is take care of it a little bit more. And I think the best teams in the world do a really good job with that. So I think we need to just keep building on that and see that as a brilliant opportunity to be tested, as you say, this January.
Following on from that, integrating a mix of your experienced players with the emerging talents like Jada and Berry, how much insight can you tell us about your strategic approach for the upcoming matches? Obviously, having the experience of Nat and Helen and then the new girls, how does that mix together? And is there a strategy to having them both on court at the same time?
Yeah, I think in fairness, whilst we're mindful of people's different experiences, that's what it is, it's different experience.
Yeah.
I don't think right or wrong. I don't think there's a certain amount that makes you world class. But I think as a collective, we're kind of really leaning into everybody's experiences, whether that's 10 years in the team or whether it's 6 months in the team. And as I say, I see that as a performance advantage, because I think some of the players that you refer to, like a Berry and a Jada, they've been coming through the ranks as youngsters, watching an England team win more than they lose and competing well against the world's best. So I actually think that's quite energising for a team, because they don't come in here with a mindset other than we want a bit of that and we want to contribute. Whereas you've obviously got some players who've sat in this team long enough, they know how much it hurts when we haven't been able to get close to some of those teams. And we're starting to turn the tide on that, but we've still got a long way to go. So, yeah, I think it's not, I don't give youngsters much opportunity to play that card for too long in this environment.
Yeah.
I think, if anything, I kind of like really invite them and kind of give them complete permission to contribute, whether that's away from the court, in training. I think the leadership group are awesome at kind of encouraging voice from everybody. And we're all different. You know, we do it to a different extent and we amplify it based on how comfortable we're feeling. But I think the environment kind of like demands everybody to step up. And it's not an environment where we provide too many excuses for people. So I actually see and have observed that that works well with this group. That like people come in this space, they want to get out on court, they want to perform, they want to be picked, they want to contribute to the game plans. And whilst we acknowledge and can absorb to an extent, you know, some people don't know what it's like to play Australia. You know, this will be their first time. So all we can do is prepare them as best we can and then give them the freedom to go out and express themselves and bring their own unique style whilst really ringing true to the Roses tactical kind of framework that we need them to contribute towards. So, yeah, I'm excited. I think the South Africa series and the New Zealand series have kind of like really introduced some of the new potential and the new combinations to our fans and to world netball. And I guess it's always a challenge to kind of sit in a team where there may be more rotation. You know, we're still trying to uncover and be super clear as to what certain partnerships bring more or less than other partnerships. But if anything, what I'm hearing in this space and the language of players are using is just pure excitement about that, that, you know, they're not being weighed down by it. I think, you know, if Imo's playing with Fumi, or she's playing with Amy, or she's playing with Fran, they're becoming very clear on their identity as a partnership in the team. And so, yeah, it's really special, actually. And at the moment, you know, whilst it might make my life a little bit harder, because, you know, from one game to the next, one training session to the next, somebody starts putting their hand up, I'll take that every day if that's the case, because, yeah, that's exactly how it's playing out. And
yeah,
they're embracing that and not seeing that as a threat to themselves. You know, they're seeing it as a great strength of the team.
Definitely. I'm sure they've all got that fire in their belly to get out and do a great job on the court whenever they can. Following last year's successes, do you feel an added sense of responsibility yourself, or heightened expectations for your team too as you enter this new year and specifically the Nations Cup?
To an extent, yeah, absolutely. I've always felt a duty and a responsibility to kind of harness the talent of this Roses team, both those here now, but those that will, no doubt over the next few years will break into this space. It is a huge responsibility, and rightly so. You know, I think we people, fans, you know, coaches, people want to see us succeed, and I can only really reassure people that we are giving our hearts and souls into the team to try and ensure that at the very least people are realizing their greatest potential, and that's all we can control. I can't control how good the opposition are going to be in another 3 years' time. You know, all I can do is have good foresight, anticipate what the future of the game looks like, and then really harness the talent that's right in front of me. So it is a duty and it's a responsibility, and I completely accept that. And I feel very fortunate that I can kind of get my head down and can continue to grow and develop the work that we've already done. And I think there is huge strength in some continuity as well. But also, continuity doesn't mean we're not refreshing, challenging ourselves, thinking about new ways that we might attack the future of our game in order we can get closer to being number one over the next few years and become world champions, which is the ultimate aim. So, yeah, it may be a duty and a responsibility, but I mean, it's a complete privilege, as I've said several times before, and I continue to see it that way. So for as long as I'm in the role, I will take that really seriously. And also know that these things aren't, you know, they're short-lived. So I just want to put the team in as good a position as I can in the time that I'm here.
Definitely. And obviously, following from last year's announcement about the NSL becoming professional, the journey to that, it's very exciting times. So how important is the year of 2024, both on and off the court, for England netball?
Yeah, I think it feels like a bit of a crossroads for the sport, in particular in the UK. Like, I think it goes without saying the difference that it will make to a, you know, in for the Roses team to be successful if we're able to make sure that we're enhancing what that domestic competition looks like in order that ultimately players have choice. You know, I obviously get to work with the very top group, which is unfortunate to do that. But even in that, in this Roses space, you can see the pressures and demands upon athletes who in their own right are world class or have potential of being world class and are still having to, in my view, juggle too many things. And that comes at a big compromise sometimes, you know, whether that's their own health and well-being, which, you know, isn't okay, but also just in terms of like having to do one or the other, you know, work or netball. And I just think it is, now is the right time to make sure we're affording our best talent in this country to see netball as not just, you know, a hobby, but, you know, to be taken seriously, and it can be their day-on-day job. It's unimaginable what I think we can do if we can create those opportunities at domestic level, you know, for multiple teams across the country. It will inevitably have a knock-on effect to our ability to be successful on an international stage. And then I think it's just it's a complete cycle then. You know, if we're successful, I'd like to think that enhances the profile of the game. At a domestic level, if we've got 8, 9, 10 full-time environments, you know, wrapping around the support that's needed to enable somebody to play and perform in the sport that they love, then that is also going to increase everyone's chances of success. So I think, yeah, I think 2024 is an exciting time. And look, professionalisation doesn't happen overnight. It's already taken a lot of people's time and effort and commitment, even just to get to the starting line of, in I guess, moving into that space. But I think it's going to be an interesting and really exciting 5 to 10 years, I think, for the game. And hopefully when I'm sat in my armchair in a decade or two, you know, I can these moments and think, look, God, we've come so far. And the sport already has done in the last 10 to 20 years. So I have no doubt we'll get there. It's just how quickly we can make that happen with the right level of quality and support and care for those involved.
Yeah, and not only for the current Roses programme, obviously, players coming through, pathway players. It's a really, really exciting time for everyone. So lastly, if you could be stuck on a desert island with one member of the Nations Cup squad, who would it be and why?
Oh, gosh, player?
Player or coaching staff, you choose.
Oh, God, that's going to be controversial, isn't it? You can't upset anyone just before the series. Who would I be on a desert island with? I'm not very good at giving one answer, so that's terrible, isn't it? I think there are a couple. I think Berry, I'd be curious just to listen to. Her level of ambition is just like sky high. So I think we shared some of our whys with each other, both staff and players, and it was quite emotive. And because I've heard a bit of that, I'm most probably a bit curious to kind of sit in Berry's world a little bit longer and, yeah, just allow myself to have that kind of freedom that I feel like she's brought into the team. But then equally, you know, somebody like Fumi would be amazing because she's so quiet. She's such a student of the game. And I think to have that kind of one-to-one time on a desert island, it would be lovely to kind of like really get underneath like what makes somebody so special tick.
Definitely.
But yeah, I think either of those. I don't want to offend my coaching team. I'm nothing about them all, so it'd have to be all of us or none of us, I think.
Yeah, amazing, love that answer, that's great. Well, that's everything. Thanks so much, Jess, for coming on and speaking to us, and I wish you all the luck for this weekend and next.
Thank you so much. There are some limited tickets still available, so it'd be amazing to get as close to a packed house as possible. It makes such a difference to us, and it'll be an incredible spectacle of netball with the best teams in the world all coming onto our soil. So, yeah.
The Netball Show is now also available via Sky HD, Sky Q and Sky Glass. Select sport and we're on the podcast rail.